Blog Talk Radio. boots in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always lived with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you.
breathe deep the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. Bedsitter people look back and lament another day's useless energy spent. Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and suckles her son. Senior citizens wish they were young. Cold-hearted orb that rules the night removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white, but we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
S'est retrouvé clochard. Pourtant depuis tant d'années, son job perdu, il avait recherché. Abandonné de sa femme et de son chien Albert. Mort lors d'une dispute d'un coup de revolver. Et dans le quartier, révolté, rebelle de dernière heure. La quarantaine est passée, il est seul et il pleure. Il est trop tard pour s'intéresser à son triste sort. Armand est mort. Armand est mort. Auparavant, devant ses enfants, leur enseignant l'amour et le respect des parents. La haine de l'avarice dans ce monde dément. Armand, passé du bon temps, accident du travail, quelques indemnités. Il retrouve un emploi, puis est licencié. Invité au mariage de sa femme Armand. Père au tribunal, la garde des enfants. Il est trop tard pour s'intéresser à son triste sort. Armand est mort. Armand est mort. Avant sa fin, il habitait une belle propriété, avec vue sur la mort, un asile de paumé. Avant sa fin, avant sa mort, il en fut délivré. Laminé, décervelé, lobotomisé. Il est trop tard pour s'intéresser à son triste sort. Le pauvre Armand est mort. Armand est mort.
Yes, we fade to black. But we've got a lot to we've got a lot of things to be thankful for. As we scroll through this blueberry tea set, good evening, and welcome. I'm your host, Michael Losing, DJ Honeycomb from Total Music Concerts LTD. And we know Thanksgiving is a time for kneeling, getting the itis, commiserating with loved ones and all that good stuff like that there. But as far as the creative mode is concerned, I had something happen to me last night. Of course, I'll preface this by saying that we are proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network, providing the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, here and now, and www.BASNNewsroom, all one phrase, .com. But to get to what I was getting at, you know, when you're writing and doing creative stuff, sometimes shit just sits in your head and you can't get it to quiet itself until you get it out. And I had a moment like that last night. Now, yesterday was November 22nd. And, of course, for some folks, y'all know what that day is. And ever since, oh, I'd say the mid-90s, 95 and 96, I ended up buying the director's cut version of JFK by Oliver Stone. And, well, best way to describe it, just go on ahead and speak on it. You know, like I said, ever since the mid-90s, like 95 and 96, I think I first bought it. You know, I found out that Oliver Stone wrote six versions of what would be his script before it was a film in 1991. You know, obviously that they, forces of the status quo, whatever you want to call them, wanted to destroy it before it became the thought-absorbing hit that it was. And there were assholes like Gerald Posner, who had his 15 minutes of fame being a hatchet man for the system, you know, talking about shit. You know, he and others attacked it, but it was to no avail. Stone did a nice job with this, and unlike the film Executive Action that was done in 1973, the scenario that was laid out there was to stifle the Kennedy line before it would prosper and manifest itself into two terms for JFK, two for Robert, and two for Edward. Yes, American royalty, whatever you want to call that shit. And this made, in some minds, the need for what was called executive action, which was translating, meaning the hitting, the killing of a head of state. And in many ways, it worked. You know, JFK was killed, Robert was killed 6 years later. Other people who might have had a chance to do something, well, that never manifested. But the beginning of JFK is what tips it all off, because you have Eisenhower making his farewell speech, and he's telling you, oh, there's going to be a change in how we do things here. And, you know, you're not going to fucking like it, so I'm glad I'm getting the fuck out while I can. Now, of course, he didn't speak it that way, but that pretty much was it to the bone. The rest, they say, is history, because, you know, we started selling arms to whoever would buy them. It didn't matter whether it was enemies or friends. They did it anyway, and we've seen that kind of duplicitous shit when, you know, that there are forces around that would sell both sides weapons, and whoever's lucky or unlucky enough to kill each other first, you know, they get over it. Speak out on democracy. But we also, well, while we speak on democracy, we definitely know a few folks were cast out in very undemocratic ways. And I can remember hearing teachers talk to me in social studies and world history and all that shit and saying all that, but you know, we lived a good chunk of that history. You know, I was in recess in elementary school when JFK was assassinated. And I was just hanging outside about 6 years later when Robert was murdered. Malcolm X was murdered in my old neighborhood. My friends and I were playing touch football outside. And when Michael Chavis came up to us and said that they had murdered Brother Malcolm, we hauled ass up to the Audubon Ballroom, just as attendants were literally running across the boulevard from Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center with the gurney. And that scene was nailed to the bus by Spike Lee when he did the movie X. Now, Martin Luther King was murdered the same day as my school's senior class trip to Washington, D.C., We were in D.C. We were in the Marriott eating dinner. And as we came up, I can remember Anne Wasey, little teeny thing, a little mini skirt, sobbing our eyes out. And that's when we found out. And, of course, there was all kinds of chaos. The buses didn't connect. We didn't get into New York City until 3 in the morning. My parents picked me up, took me down to 125th Street, and they saw the damage that had been done and all the damage that had not been done by the businesses who had wrote Soul Brother on their windows with soap or whatever it was they did. They said, please don't tear up our shit. And it was not torn out. But it was fuck wild seeing it. And later on, thanks to Mr. Dick Gregory, we now know some asshole told on himself as to how they set up King so that they can move out the way and get a good shot at him. Literally the guy's words. And you don't, all I can say is YouTube it. It's still on YouTube, Dick Gregory and Martin Luther King's assassination. And it's an intriguing piece of audio video as how this guy just literally just blurted it out, and there was no way he could cover it up or clean it up. Now, in the film, Kevin Costner, in the role of prosecutor Jim Garrison, says, I'm paraphrasing, he says, authority forgets a dying king. Now, given my recollect, we've lost a few kings and queens in my lifetime. Patrice Lumumba, who was murdered in spite of the fact he was rightfully elected by his own people. Benazir Bhutto, Medgar Evers, murdered on his own property by a malignant piece of shit. And there were many others who endeavored but were co-opted, being Cleaver, Fred Hampton, Huey Newton, Bobby Steele, Elaine Brown, Angela Davis, James Baldwin, Frantz Fanon, Dr. Chinua Achebe, who I was blessed to interview and write about, Shirley Chisholm, Marcus Garvey, Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing, all these people and others, famous and not so famous, who are in exile, either physically or emotionally, you know. And this was just another reminder to say, but we will not forget you. But the fact that this comes over every year, and myself and my brother, Tony, because we talk about this, we're buffs on this sort of thing, that literally someone can get away with murder and just do what they do to the level that they do it. There has to be redress. And as is always said, karma sometimes will be a little late. That's okay. She always keeps an appointment. Having said that, tomorrow on the Hump Day special, we will do a little pre-Thanksgiving joint. We will expound on what ifs. And we started this a couple of weeks ago. We need a chance to expound on it. So right before Thanksgiving, we're going to give you some what ifs to tickle the brain for a bit. Maybe wash down that Henny or whatever libation you're picking up on. We talked about Jim Brown and what would have happened if he had not gone Hollywood and came back to the NFL. How much longer would he have had a career? How much longer would he have run? All that good shit. How many yards would he accumulate? Stuff like that. And you already know how great Gale Sayers was. But Gale Sayers, like Joe Namath, was a jewel in the bidding war between the AFL and the NFL. Now, we know Namath went to the AFL. He had that big-ass contract, $427,000 or something like that. And Gale Sayers went to the NFL Old Guard Bears. But Gale Sayers, who started Kansas, would have been a Kansas City Chief had he gone to the AFL. And how intriguing would it have been to have seen Gale Sayers in a Chiefs uniform playing in the league? So stuff like that we will cook up and slap together. And, of course, we do what we do always. Try to bring you the best information we can. Sometimes we might even make you smile a little bit. But he said that. I got my brother Gary Norris-Gray on the line. Big G, what's cooking, baby?
You know, you brought up a good issue about the historical landmarks.
Yes.
And I can remember, I remember it clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
June the 5th,
June
1968. Yep. Bobby Kennedy had been shot in LA that morning.
Yep.
Michael, that was the end of the era.
Yeah.
When Bobby got shot, it was like, okay, enough is enough.
Yep.
No more. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but we went to the train station in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And we watched that train go by.
Oh, yeah, the funeral train. Forgot about that. Yes.
That's right. We were traveling by Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, like, the world was going right there with it.
I feel you.
Now, I want people to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do not assassinate you with a bullet.
No.
Mm-mm. They assassinate you with words and letters and verbal conversation now.
Exactly. They slaughter you in the public sector, G. For real.
That's right.
Yeah.
As a political assassination now is in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I hate to tell you guys, but that's how Donald John Trump became president through political assassination.
Oh, yeah. Fascism is for real. And what I've always enjoyed about the movie JFK were the little moments where the cameos were very powerful, from John Candy to the crooked lawyer, to Kevin Bacon, where he's saying, that motherfucker Kennedy. You know, that all that shit. I mean, they nailed their parts to the butt.
They really did.
Walter Matthau as the senator, you know, Senator Long. All of these guys, they just killed it. And we're left to say, like, well, yeah, you know, this couldn't happen. It's just speculation. Well, the movie Executive Action, which came out in 1973, At the end of the movie, gives you cameos of 18 people who were murdered between when Kennedy was killed and 3 years later, to fit the scenario that Jim Garrison talked about. He said these people died in really weird ways, and the odds of all of them being dead by 1968 was 130 trillion to one. Yeah, so you know some dick dastardly shit was going on.
And it continues to this day because
yes, it does.
2 years ago, President Trump said, we are not going to open the Kennedy, case. Why would he do that?
Exactly. Oh, no. His MO has been to create chaos wherever he can. People are thinking about crazy shit while all this dick dastardly action is being done, you know, not to our behest and definitely not to our benefit, but to perpetuate this desire to maintain this line of belief that fascism.
I hope that our future generation can come out of this alive and well and healthy. Because I think we're walking down a very dark door. And if we open that door,
it's
going to smack us right over the butt.
I don't disagree, Gary. I really don't. And that thought that caused me to sit out and write something, it sat in my gut all night. I actually went to bed and I got back up and I'm like, all right, I fucking got to do this. So I at least put down the basic note so I wouldn't forget, because, you know, our old asses or whatnot, we get to that point. But yes, it's done. I feel a little better, but it's just how we have to remember. You know, Tony always talks about us having to remain vigilant. And sometimes that vigilance is like that person that keeps gnawing at you or nudging you, wake up, motherfucker. You know, that kind of shit. You know, and That's the kind of stuff I've had to experience in my later years. You know, okay, you can't let a good thought go by because it might disappear and shit. At least write it down so you know what you remembered and stuff. And that's what I've been doing for the last few years. Well, anyway, having said all of that, the Hump Day special tomorrow, we're going to talk about great scenarios of what ifs, where we talk about what if Gale Sayers ended up going to the AFL and became a Kansas City Chief, or what if Joe Namath had forgotten about the Jets and decided to go to the old guard and play for the St. Louis Cardinals like he would have been because he was their property in the draft. So things like that we're going to talk about, and Tony and I got into a nice conversation about it on Monday, and I think it led to having said that, you got any last words for us, brother?
Well, as always, you guys have got to get the vaccine booster shot. Please get the shot, man. Come on, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wear a mask and wash your hands.
Did you say hands? Did you say your hands or wash your ass? Yes, wash it. Wash your ass, too. Don't be fooling around here on that. Well, no funky stuff going on other than music. Yes, wash your ass so you don't smell like wild onions and ass gravy sprinkled with toe jam. We don't want any of that shit. Yes, and wear a mask. We're applicable because only funk we want should be off the turntable. Well, see, another great segue ruined because it didn't come in when it was supposed to.
Baby, don't you go and have to stay with me. Thank you. I'm a Buddy Holly, the working folly, they calling me Smolly and Boats. Hammersmith Pally, the Bolshoi Valley, jump back in the alley, add nanny goats. 18 minutes camels, Dominica camels, all other members plus equal votes. Seeing Piccadilly, Fanny Smith and Willie, being rather silly and porridge oats. I better grin and bear it, I better come and share it. You're welcome, we can spare it. Yellow socks, short to be haughty, nothing to be naughty. Going on 40, no electric shots. The juice of the carrot, the smile of the parrot, a little drop of claret, anything that works. Elvis ain't spotty, days when I ain't spotty, sitting on the potty, curious smallpox, reasons to be cheerful. Part 3. Reasons to be cheerful. Part 3. Reasons to be cheerful. Part 3. Reasons to be cheerful. 1, 2, 3. Reasons to be cheerful. Part 3. Health service glasses, gigolos and brasses, round or skinny bottoms. Take your mum to Paris, lighting up the chalice, wee Willie Harris. Banjo Stephen Beagle, listening to Rico, half a Groucho Chico. Cheddar cheese and pickle, the Vincent motorcycle, slap and tickle. Woody Allen Darley, Dimitri and Pasquale, bala 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 and Valari. Sunday night's nice study, phoning up a buddy, being in my nubby. Saying okie dokie, sing along a smokey, coming out a chokey. John Coltrane soprano, Eddie Celentano, Bona Carlino. Reasons to be cheerful, part 3. Reasons to be cheerful, part 3. Reasons to be cheerful, part 3. Reasons to be cheerful, 1, 2, 3. Yes, yes, dear, dear, perhaps next year, or maybe even never. In which...
Why don't you get back into bed? Why don't you get back into bed? Why don't you get back into bed? Why don't you get back into bed?
Yes, indeed. It's all right. It's going to be even better tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, the Hump Day Special. We come back and do it in a pre-indigestion-itis version of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. Everybody who's reserving, happy Thanksgiving. Everybody who's traveling, please, once you get from A to B and back to A-OK. All of us here at the tree, go safe, stay safe, be safe. We will see you tomorrow at 9. Good night.